I've already said it's all about the birth of Jesus, and we make it about a lot of other things, and I enjoy Christmas. I have fun. I'm just as cheerful as the next person, and I spend a little bit of money. Sometimes I spend a little bit more than I should, maybe, on my darling wife. But anyway, hadn't always been that way. One year we got a hair dryer between us, and that was all we had for Christmas. But God is blessed, and I'm so thankful. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Luke. And I want to try to preach with the help of the Lord this morning a message that I'll call Christ the Redeemer. We hear the Christmas story. And matter of fact, we've heard it this morning already. And I'm not going to read all this in the book of Luke. But we've read it. And as a child growing up, I heard about Christmas from Luke. And I heard about Christmas from Matthew. And you read that and you say that's the Christmas story. As Brother Wells mentioned the other night, we get up on the day before service, before Christmas, and we try to preach a Christmas message that's been preached for 2,000 years, and it's the same old message, but you know something? I like that song, "Tell Me the Old Story."
Right.
Just tell me one more time. I don't never get tired of hearing the story of Jesus, but I was thinking as I was sitting here a few minutes ago meditating on the message and what God's laid on my heart. My brother one time, somebody said after he preached somewhere, they said, "I know the Bible says to preach the entire Word of God, but it didn't say do it all in one message." But that's what I'm probably going to do this morning with the help of the Lord. So y'all just bear with me, there's just so much to the Christmas story other than what we hear all the time. And I just want to try with the help of the Lord to point out a few things that maybe don't get mentioned so often. But in Luke chapter number 2, and I want to start reading with verse number 4. The Bible said, "And Joseph also went up from the Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, who was being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. We ask you, Heavenly Father, just to help us with the message that you've laid on our heart for today. Lord, I ask you, God, just to be with us as we try to tell the story of Jesus and the story of Christmas. Lord, I ask you just to be with us today. Touch hearts here. Touch lives. God, I ask you just to help each one of us that we would leave here with more than what we came with. God, help us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the story of Christmas is it's a story about Jesus being born in a manger in Bethlehem. And he was born, as the song they sang a little while ago, that Jesus was born to die on Calvary. That's the only reason, the only purpose that he really had to be born. I know there's a lot of things happened during the time that he was here, but basically, as Brother Gary mentioned this morning before Sunday school, he was born and laid on a tree, and when he died on a tree. And that was his whole purpose and for coming into this world. But there's so much more to it than just what we find in the two Gospels. The Bible tells us here in Luke that there was shepherds there, that the angel of the Lord came to them, and the heavenly host came and told them about the birth of Christ. And I tell you, that's a real blessing to me to know that God would send the heavenly host to such poor and seemingly insignificant people. But that's what He did when He came to me. I wasn't rich, still not. But I tell you, when the night I got saved and the night that Jesus came and spoke to my heart, I'm sure I didn't have a nickel or a penny. I mean, I might have had a little lint in my pocket, and that's probably about it. And He still came to where I was, because I couldn't get to where He was. I'm so grateful that God loves everybody, and He sent Jesus to die for everybody. Sometimes we say, "Oh, I love everybody," but we love some maybe more than we do others. But God loves us all the same, and God gave Jesus for the poor and the homeless and those that are rejected and put down, just as much as He did for anybody else that might be wealthy and exalted and lifted up. As a matter of fact, probably more so to the poor, because Jesus told the disciples on one occasion how hardly it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. People oftentimes let things that they have stand between them and coming to the Lord, but I didn't have anything to stand between me the night I came. And I'm thankful for that today. But the story of Jesus starts a long time before Luke and a long time before Matthew. I want to turn over this morning to the book of 1 Peter in chapter number 1 and read just a few verses. The Bible said in verse number 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times unto you." Now Peter here, he's telling these people, he said, this thing started before the world was ever formed. God had a plan before He ever made a man. He knew that man would need a redeemer, and He had a plan for man's redemption before man was ever created and put in the Garden of Eden. Before that time ever happened, God already had a plan for Jesus to be the Redeemer of the world. And I'm glad of that today. God knew that man wouldn't have the ability or the desire to serve Him and live for Him. And so He said, "Okay, I'm certain that they're not going to..." The foreknowledge of God, He knew this. And so He already made a plan. I can just hear Him as He spoke during the creation and talked to somebody. A lot of folks today are in a cult, what I call it. You can call it what you want to, but they believe in Jesus only. If Jesus is the only one, who was God talking to? And who was talking to Jesus? Listen, it takes the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost for people to be saved this morning. You'll never be saved by Jesus alone. He said in one place in the Word of God, He said, "No man come to the Father except by Me." And then in another place, He said, "No man comes to Me except My Father draw him." And how does the Father draw us today? Through the Spirit of God. So we find that it takes Jesus to come to God. It takes God to come to Jesus. And it takes the Holy Ghost for any of it to happen. I'm thankful today that I believe in the Trinity of God. God. I don't understand it all, but I believe it just the same. But the Bible tells us back way back yonder in the book of Genesis, the Bible said as God was creating the heaven and the earth, that God said in Genesis chapter number 1, and I know that the Bible spoke of Jesus in about the 3rd chapter. God told the devil, he said, there'll be a son or a child born to the woman, and he'll bruise his heel, but he'll bruise your head. That's the first mention of Jesus. But I thank you today that in Genesis chapter number 1 and verse 26, the Bible said, and let us make man in our likeness. And I'm glad today that God knew what He was doing a long, long time ago. What's so important about making man in the likeness and the image of God? He said, let us make him look like us. And the 27th verse, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And so we find that man was created in the likeness and the image of God. Now, this is important, I think, because you see, years down the road, and it would be maybe 4,000 years later on that the Bible would tell us that Jesus came into this world, and Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 3 said, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now, we find that God in Genesis chapter 1 made man in His own image. And we find in Romans chapter number 8 that Jesus came into this world in the likeness of a man. So I find this morning from putting these two scriptures together, I believe that that God said back in Genesis, let's make him look like us, because when it comes time for you to go down and redeem the world, you're going to need to look like them. And so we all, somebody said one time, what do you think God looks like? Well, just look in the mirror and you'll get a pretty good idea, because we are created in His likeness and we're born again in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. God made man in His image, then He made Jesus in the image of man. So I see that. Listen, God thought about all this. It's not something that God just jumped up one day and said, okay, this is what we're going to do. This thing started before the world was ever created. Before there was ever a thought of a man. Before a man was ever placed in the garden. Christmas was already forethought of. We think about it as coming along in Matthew and Luke, but it came a long time before those two Gospels was ever written. This is a Jesus book. I tell people all the time, this book right here is a Jesus book. And I'm preaching this morning from Genesis all the way through. This is a Jesus book. Jesus is found in every book in this Bible. You can't find one where it doesn't talk about Jesus. You won't find His name in all the books, but you'll find reference to Him in every book in the Bible. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter number 7, the Bible tells us over there that that there was a prophecy given, and the prophet Isaiah told the king, said, ask God for a sign. The king said, I'm not asking for a sign. But Isaiah said, well, God's going to give you one anyway. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. which means Christ with us. Listen, I want to tell you today that Jesus, had He been born of a regular, normal kind of a birth, He would not have done any of us any good. But He was born of a virgin. And people have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. My Bible tells me that. And I just accept the fact. And besides that, if Jesus would have been born in sin, He could not have redeemed us from sin. This whole thing was clearly thought out before anything ever started. Before the world was even formed. Before God spoke and said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Before God spoke and said, "Let the firmament be separated from the waters." Before that, this was thought of. God already had a redemptive plan in place, because He put Adam and Eve in the garden and He told them, "You can have any tree in this garden, but the day that you eat of that tree right there is the day that you will die." And they didn't live very long in the garden till the devil came along and tempted Eve, and she just couldn't say no. I want to tell you something. We need to say no to the devil today. He tempts every one of us. He comes to you with temptation. You say, "Preacher, He don't ever tempt me." Then He's already got you. I mean, that's all I can say. If He don't tempt you, you already belong to Him. And even then, He's not going to leave you alone. He'll get you to do things that you never dreamed about doing. Eve and Adam and Eve, probably when you remember when the Bible said that the voice of God walked through the garden and spoke to Adam and fellowship with him in the afternoon, in the cool of the evening. I'll tell you something this morning, I would love to have God to come down and fellowship with me. I believe I would anyway. I might be like another preacher I heard of. He was out in a pine thicket behind his house praying, and he said, "I said, God, I just wish You'd come down here and sit on this stump beside of me." And he said, all them pine trees started cracking and swaying, and he said, next thing I know, I was on the back porch headed in the door and said, "God, I'm sorry, I just couldn't stay." It might be the way I'd be too, I don't know. But I think I would love for God to come and just sit with me. And He does talk with me. He fellowships with me. He talks to me through the Word of God. But He also talks to me through His Spirit into my heart. God leads us and guides us. And if we're saved today, we have fellowship with Him. And I'm thankful for the fellowship that I have with my Savior. But God, before the world was ever formed, before man was ever created, before man was ever put in the Garden of Eden, I believe that God spoke to Jesus and said, "You know, I'm going to make a man, and I'm going to tell him not to sin," but we know how that's going to turn out. You think God really knew that? God knows everything. God knows everything. You believe in predestination? Well, the Bible teaches it to a point. Now, I don't believe in predestination like I can be saved and Miss Frances can't. I don't believe that. I believe the Bible said, "Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely." But and I tell you something, that's something else like the Trinity. It gets kind of hard to understand when you go to thinking about those things. And when you go to talking about those things, it's hard to sort out everything. But I'm telling you this morning that God knows everything. And He said, "We're going to create a man. I'm going to make him to have fellowship with us, but I already see where this is going." So what I need you to do is, we're going to have a redemption plan to back up our plan for Him to live for us. And so what I need you to do is be willing one day, sometime out in the future, to go down and die on an old rugged cross, that we might redeem man back to us. Listen, Jesus came to this earth and died on Calvary. He came to me because I could not get to Him. That's And I'm so glad that he was willing to do that. And I believe Jesus said, okay, Father, if that's what has to happen, then that's the way it's got to be. Listen, the Bible said in John chapter 3 and verse 16 that God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad for the love that God had for this world.
Amen.
Do you imagine? Sometimes I just sit and think about things, you know, like, can you imagine when the day came that, or the time came, I don't know if there's a day, time don't mean much in heaven, but God looked at the Son and said, Son, they're in bad shape. They need a Redeemer. They need somebody. And we talked about this. And it's time for you to go and bring them back to us because they can't make it on their own. God gave them the law. Moses wrote down the law and gave it to the people back in the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And he gave them the law and he said, this is what you're going to do. You do this, 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 and this, and these, and them, and y'all for this sacrifice, and this, and this. And they said, oh, we'll do that. You know how long that lasted? About 5 minutes, probably. I'm telling you, man has never been able to keep the law, and there's no saving grace in the law anyway. You can't live good enough to be saved. If you could, Jesus would not have had to come and die on Calvary, and I don't understand why people can't believe and understand that. The law didn't ever have anything in it to save anybody. The only thing the law had in it was something to tell you you're lost. If it wasn't for the law, I wouldn't know I was a sinner. If the law didn't say thou shalt not steal, I could steal all I want and I wouldn't know it's wrong. The law only convinced me of sin. It won't save you from sin. And so Jesus had to make that decision and that choice. And the Father said, it's time. And I can just imagine as Jesus stood up and put off his royal robes and came, the Bible said that his mother and Joseph, he had to be born in Bethlehem because Micah chapter number 5 said so. And every prophecy in the Word of God has got to be true and has got to be fulfilled in the way that it said, and everything had to be done just exactly the way that God said that it would be done. I'm glad that God has done everything that He said in exactly the way that He said it. We don't always, but God does. Mary and Joseph, the Bible said she was great with child. That means she was just about ready to deliver any day. And they probably, I don't know how much of the law they knew or how much of the prophecies they knew, but I imagine they knew, and the angel Gabriel had already told her, told Joseph that Mary is conceived of is of the Holy Ghost. This is going to be Jesus, the Redeemer of the world. And they may have known that he was supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Do you think they might have said, well, we'll just stay here in Nazareth? You think we just stay here where we're at? Because after all, she's great with child. And she's got to travel all those miles on the back of a donkey. And I think God will understand if we don't do it exactly the way He said to do it. I want to tell you something. God does not understand when you don't do what He says for you to do. There's no understanding in God for you to do things your way just because that's what you thought you wanted to do. So many times people shortchange God and they say, well, God will understand. God don't understand much you think. But they had to get to Bethlehem. Maybe they wouldn't have went. I don't know. I'm surmising this, but Maybe they would have. I don't know. But I do know one thing, that they passed a law that everybody had to go to their hometown in order to be taxed. And so Joseph's hometown was Bethlehem. So it didn't matter about Mary's condition. We got to go. This was not a request. This was an order that they go to Bethlehem. Now what I'm telling you this morning is, and whether I'm just thinking about these things, but I'm telling you something today. Why did the taxation come around exactly when it did? God said, I need to get them to Bethlehem, and I need to get them there in a hurry. So they went, and they went to Bethlehem. And when they got there, I don't know how many inns was in town. I don't know how many inns they went to try to find a room. I know they went to one. And I know the innkeeper said, I don't have any room. So he put Mary and Joseph out in a stable. Well, that was sad. He should have cleared out a place. He didn't know the Son of God was going to be born. But now that brings up another question. Had he known that Mary was carrying the Son of God, would he have put somebody out and give them their room? Or would he have said, it don't matter, everybody's treated equal in this end? I don't know. I mean, that's just another one of them things that we'll never know. But I know one thing, they didn't have any room for them. And they wouldn't let him stay in the lobby, so he said, I've got a stable out in the back. You can go back there and sleep back there. And two of them went back there and three of them came out. Because Jesus was born while they was there. When Jesus was born, I think it was Mary and Joseph. And I think that is all that was there. And then Jesus. And then the angels of the Lord went to the shepherds and said, hey, I want to tell you what just happened in Bethlehem. What already happened? Listen, I want to tell you about this. They said there's a Christ child that's born in Bethlehem. And he's over there right now. And you'll go over there, you'll find Mary and Joseph, and you'll find the Son of God laying out there in a stable. And they said, we got to go and see this great thing that has come to pass. Did they know the prophecy? I don't know. Probably not. I mean, I'm guessing they probably might not have. I don't know what they knew. I know the Pharisees thought they knew everything and nobody else knew nothing. Now, and as far as the law was concerned, that may have been the case. But as far as the Spirit of God was concerned, the Pharisees knew nothing. And anybody else that wanted to could know more.
That's right.
He went to fishermen to get his disciples. Pharisees didn't like that. Why didn't he come to us? We make good disciples. No, you make troublemakers. That's all you are. You're just a troublemaker, and you think Jesus didn't know that? Listen, they went to the shepherds to make the announcement that Jesus was born. And when he started his ministry, he went to a bunch of fishermen. He could have went back to the shepherds probably and got some of them. But he went to the fishermen. And he said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Can you imagine? You think about this. You're on your job and Jesus comes by and said, hey, just drop what you're doing, follow me. How many people are going to do that? How many people would do that? Peter did. He's okay. Laid his nets down, got out of his boat and said, well, good riddance. I don't need you anymore. And then the sons of Zebedee, can you imagine what your father would think if Jesus came by and said, y'all boys, follow me. And they said, okay. And Zebedee said, wait a minute. You leaving me here with all this mess? They said, we got to go. Jesus went to the lowly. He went to those that was probably less educated, maybe. I don't know what people's background was, but I can't imagine that anybody in that day and time was very educated. I find that Saul, or Paul, whichever one you want to call him, he was educated at the feet of Gamaliel. And they said he too much learning made him mad. I know he was well learned in everything, but I don't know about all these other people. I just feel like that most people wasn't really that learned and versed in the Word of God. I believe when Martin Luther interpreted the Bible, I think, into German. I think it's one he interpreted it to. And the reason he did it is because that the Catholic Church was telling people all this crazy stuff, and that the people didn't know about the Word of God. And I went to that museum they had here, that ink and blood thing that they had here a few years ago, and they said in there that we was walking through there reading some of that stuff, and they said that back at before the Gutenberg, I believe is his name, that invented the printing press, and before that, every Bible that was written had to be handwritten. And they said it took about a year to sit down and write a Bible. And so for that reason, if you bought a Bible, you think about this. The people go, they say, man, a new Bible with leather cover for $40, man, that's high. What if it cost you a year's wages to buy a Bible? That's what it costs. That's what they said. If you had a Bible, it cost you a year's wages to buy a copy of the Word of God. So how many people do you think had one? Not very many. But you see, then God gave this man the idea for a printing press. You see, God, he's in the middle of all this stuff. And he made a way to mass print the Word of God and get it into the people's hands so that we could have a copy of it and read it and study it and take it to our heart and learn and live by it. Well, God understands if I don't read it. No, he don't. He gave it to you to read. He does not understand you not reading it. He don't understand you not living by it. But God sent Jesus into this world sinless. He knew no sin. He that knew no sin became sin, that we could be redeemed from sin. Listen, I'm so grateful for that. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, without sin. I remember when Jesus was baptized, John baptized him, and he came up out of the water, and the Bible said that the Holy Ghost came down in the form of a dove and lit on his shoulders, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights without nothing to eat or drink. For 40 days and 40 nights, the devil came around and offered him every kind of a temptation that could be offered to a man, and Jesus rejected every single one of them. If he would have fallen under any of that, he would not have been able to redeem us of our sin. But he was tempted in all points as we are. All people don't understand how I'm tempted, yet Jesus was. He faced everything that you're facing. He faced everything that you've ever faced. Everything that you ever will face, he already faced it. And he didn't sin. You know why? Because he said, I came not to do my will, but to do the will of the Father. I think it'd do us good if we made that decree, don't you? I'm not going to do my will anymore. I'm going to do the will of the Father. And sometimes the will of the Father don't please us. But that's what we still need to be doing. Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed, and he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Listen, he was enough of a man that he didn't want to die. But yet he went back the next time and said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And so he went to Calvary and died on an old rugged cross that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Listen, Jesus was sinless, and we are redeemed because of this sinless man that came into this world in the book of Matthew and Luke, but was foreordained before the world ever started, and was made in the likeness of God in Genesis, and was prophesied in Isaiah, was prophesied over in, Exodus or Leviticus or Numbers, where Moses said, God's going to send a prophet like unto me, and you'll hear him. Well, he wasn't exactly right, because they never heard him. Some people did, but not everybody. Everybody's not listening to him today. You know, you can't be saved without hearing the Word of God. And most people are running from the preacher. They're running from the preaching. They want nothing to do with it. And I think that what they believe is that somehow or another, when it comes time to die, God's just going to show some special kind of mercy and favor toward them. If you go through this life rejecting the Son of God as your Savior, don't you expect to ever make heaven your home. It'll never happen. God gave you the best that heaven had to offer. And I'll tell you something, if you reject that, if you reject the Christ child, the people at Christmas time, they even instead of saying Merry Christmas, it's Merry Xmas. And people can tell me all they want to. X stands for Christ. Not in my book, it don't.
Amen.
Christ stands for Christ.
Amen.
Jesus stands for Jesus. The Son of God stands for the Son of God. And X usually stands for nothing where I come from. I want to tell you something. They can go through this holiday season saying Xmas if they want to. To me, that's just a way of saying Christ ain't got nothing to do with it. I tell you something, He does. And you can go through this holiday season without Him, and it'll be another miserable holiday for you. But I'm going to go through this season with Jesus. God spent a lot of thought and a lot of effort and of making everything come out just exactly the way that it did. He got the Son of God birthed into this world without a man. He got Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. He got Jesus to live a sinless life. And He got Him to Calvary, where He died. He said, no man take my life, but freely I give it. And if I give my life, I have power to take it up again. And they put Him in a borrowed tomb over there after they took Him down off the cross. They thought they were shed of this man. They did not realize what they had done. They created something that had never been done away with. As much as people want to do away with Jesus, I'm afraid He's here to stay. Now, if you love Christ and you like the fact that He's here, then you're happy. But if you're one of those that don't want anything to do with Him, you're going to be miserable till the day you die and go to hell. Then you'll be miserable. I'm telling you, Jesus, He'll affect you in some way. Say, don't affect me. Yeah, He does. I guarantee you, He'll have some kind of effect on you. No matter who or what you are, He will affect you. Listen, Jesus was sinless, and He redeemed this world because of that sinlessness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 said, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Let me tell you what. I started thinking about this several days ago. As I mentioned, God made man in His image in Genesis chapter number 1. Then in Romans chapter 8, we find that Jesus was made in the image of sinful flesh. Didn't say He was sinful flesh. He was made in the image of sinful flesh. In other words, He was made in the image of a man. God made man in His image, made Jesus in man's image, so that Jesus could die on Calvary and resurrect from the dead in 3 days and ascend up into heaven to be with the Father again. And because of all that, through His death, burial, and resurrection of this sinful man, we're made righteous unto God through Him. So man was made like unto God. God was made like unto man. And man is made like unto God. I tell you that this story is just, and there's so much more, but you get the picture. God put a lot of thought into Christmas. You have too. A lot of people have. They've been thinking since last year what they're going to go spend their money on. That's not Christmas. That's not Christmas. If we would go through a Christmas, I know probably not going to, but if you ever had a Christmas where you never gave or received any gifts, that would probably be the happiest Christmas that you ever spent. Because then you would get the true meaning of what Christmas is all about. I don't know where the tradition of giving gifts came from. Don't know how long people have been doing that, but I imagine maybe it had something to do with Mary when she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in that manger. While they come this morning, get a song ready. This is the message. I hope that you listened and took it to heart and realized that Christmas started before the world was ever began and before the world was ever created. Christmas was already in the making. Father, we thank you for the ability and the strength to stand and preach one more time. Lord, I ask you, God, this morning that you touch every heart in this building. God, cause us to realize that exactly what you want us to know about Christmas. Lord, cause us to realize that we need to get in the book. We need to study and find out what you've said in different ages. Lord, sometimes we read one or two verses and we think we've got it all figured out. It takes the whole entire Bible and we still can't figure it out. God, I ask you to bless here this morning in the invitation. Deal with hearts. God, there may be some here this morning that's lost. Lord, they have no idea what Christmas or Christ is all about. Lord, they've been baptized maybe. They might even be a church member, but they've never been born again. God, touch that heart today. Touch that one that's drifted away from you. Lord, just be with us this morning, God, as we go through the invitation number. Touch every heart in this building. In Jesus' name, amen. While we stand, while we sing.
All those cat wheels, grab all the merry.